I'd like to go to the 119th Psalm this morning. This 119th Psalm is called an alphabetical or acrostic psalm. It does not have... It's divided by section here, and it's by the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. So that to me is pretty amazing that each one is ordered, and that's the entire 119th Psalm. On top of that, each of the verses, of which in every single division there are eight verses in each one, and that's it, eight in every single one of these sections. In addition to that, and these are just some things that at some point I never knew this. Preachers don't get up and just preach on, oh, let's see how this book is set up or anything. We give you some insight into it, or try to. But New Testament, I'd love to, and Old Testament as well, the minor prophets, I'd love to describe the scenario, even geographically, the setup in that, because a lot of times that has to do with what's being said. These are not just words thrown together in a book. The Apostle Paul wrote letters to churches. He wrote letters, and the Apostle Peter wrote his epistles, and things were happening then. There were situations then, different ones, say, when Peter wrote his than when Jesus Christ was speaking the words that he spoke here as he was prepared that body. And so even here, as we read David's writings and all, we see that as well. But the first Hebrew in the original manuscript, the original writing, penning of this, each verse of each of those eight verses in each of these divisions began with the letter of the title of that division. So I'm going to Lord willing, talk about Daleth. That's the fourth section. So it would have been that Hebrew letter. But the entire Psalm 119 in its entirety, and this certainly supports this statement that I'm about to make. But every verse except three mentions the law of God, the Word of God. Now, many, you'll look down, it's like, well, this one doesn't. But you look at commandments, judgments, and all the other, the words that go into the Word of God itself, the law, and the statutes. That's in every verse except one. It is, and really, when Brother Timothy selected that song, a counsel, I thought, well, that song, I wanted to say, supports this psalm, or the other way around, if you have it. It's how we look at God's law and His Word, and we live our lives by that. We apply it to our lives, and we do that having already had revealed to us that we are one of His. Those that have no desire to do this, that don't look up to God and desire to live by His law, then are not one of His, or they're the unregenerate. And just like I was, just like we all were sometime, and yet now we desire to live by His law, by His word. And so this psalm here, now I have not gone to the other sections in great detail, but I did this section of Daleth. So it just somehow just popped out at me. So I pray that you will receive something from it as well. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. So cleaveth, and that is as if you are glued to something. Something's glued to you. It's attached. It's a part of you. And you think, okay, well, then what is it? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. It's not literal dust, but we have plenty of that, especially how dry it is. This is that my soul cleaveth or is glued to earthly things. I first thought, and I suppose you could lump this in with the other here. It's worldly things, earthly things, things of this world. I'm not talking about evil necessarily, but I'm glued to that, the worldly things. But I think also in, for the most part, I know we have a desire to go to heaven, but we're glued to this dust. We just look at each time you breathe. That's involuntary, and you're going to breathe. We want to live, and we fight death. We're glued to the dust here, and so worldly things. We don't know, but what God has in a small way shown us what heaven is. But I do long to be there, but we know what's around us here. But in God's word and his law, we see, and it's not, again, it's not, I might have said this last Sunday, I don't remember, but it's not as simple as this being God's instruction book. That's not, it's so much more than that. But we have instructions in how to live our lives, how to, and then quicken thou me according to thy word. Give me the abundant life you're already having given me eternal life, but give me that abundant life and the vigor and the energies that I need, that I would not cleave to those things, to break away from that. And that's hard. I've often said, you know, I'm so glad that we don't have to work on getting to heaven. Jesus Christ did that. It's done, because we have so much more to do besides that for here. And it is for here. It's for here. These words of the psalmist here are for us in our lives here. But he wrote it. And he lived these things. We know some of the sufferings of David. We know his faults and some of his mistakes. We don't know all of them. God did. And in fact, here, the next verse here, 26th verse says, I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. I've declared my ways, my cares, my troubles, my griefs. I've declared those unto God. And he did. David did that. And we should do that. Our cares, our troubles, sorrows, griefs, anxieties, and yes, our faults, our sins. We confess those things to God, He hears us. He heard him. You think, well, okay, I confess those things, but God's all knowing and he knows me. He already knows those. Yeah. But I tell you what, I don't know if you're like this, but when I pray to God within my, not audibly sometimes, but within myself, my mind, many times I go off into some thought or meditation that shows me more deeply who I am in Adam, but then also in Jesus Christ. As I'm praying to the Lord. And so I confess those things. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. So now, at this point, he said, teach me thy statutes. Show me thy will. Show me thy will. That's such a huge one in what we're to do in our lives. And it's difficult. So often we find out after the fact that we've maybe taken a path outside of those statutes of God, his judgments. And then he blesses us to see that other times. And I believe I can say, in all honesty, in my life, the times that I don't flip a coin or all, but it was almost like, well, I don't know what to do. I guess I'll do this. And he guided me in the right path. And I reassured of that much later in life. And so he blesses us with that. But he hears us. You declare your ways unto him, and he hears us, and then beg him to teach me his statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So often I don't understand, and there's the word precepts. So that's the law, the word of God, every verse except three. Don't go looking for those right now. But anyway, so make me to understand the way of thy precepts, because I don't understand. I don't understand so often the ways of his precepts, what he would have me to do. And so make me to understand that. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Ministers are blessed with the opportunity quite often to talk about God's wondrous works. There are other things that are put on our, I believe, on our hearts and our minds to preach on. And yet we see God's wondrous works come out of that. Causes one another to declare his wondrous works in our lives, whether it be in our actions or our words, that we have that desire to do that. He then says, my soul melteth for heaviness. My soul melteth for heaviness. That means to drop. My soul melted. It drops for heaviness. I don't believe I've been there like David was, like so many others. But I've experienced that heaviness of my soul to the point where I saw and that phrase sin sick soul. That's what it was. Just sick of it. Sick and tired of it. And so then I see people so faithful and they just keep going. They've been blessed with that, the energies and the presence of God to continue, like Sister Joyce and Brother Jim, like Sister Jean, to keep carrying on in the service of God Almighty. And I think all those years, and yet we know that time is but a vapor. It goes by so fast. I can look back now and remember thoughts or plans that I might have had somewhere along the way of time that maybe I called myself middle-aged. Unless I live to be 124, it's not going to happen. I'm not middle-aged right now. And so many things have gone by. And so I began to look forward, and I see then what I should put my hopes in. That's why we're told to read God's word in our youth and so forth. And I think, Lord, what if my sight was taken away or my hearing? I can't imagine now going forward in that state. But had I been more diligent in studying God's word, then I still have. And I believe he would bless me, and he has people in that situation. But we're blessed to carry on to. but it, my, our soul drops like the rain, the drops that wear us away. They wear us down, and Satan grabs hold of that, takes that opportunity to draw us away from God Almighty, Jesus Christ. In this, Proverbs, I think it's the 14th chapter. We'll find out. Yeah, Proverbs 14, the 13th verse. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. He talks about the heaviness here in Proverbs. And I believe this psalm is much like the writing of Proverbs. Seeing that, there's someone, usually famous, those are the ones we hear about, that have taken their life, and I think, oh my goodness, he seems so happy, and the laughter and everything, and we see the heaviness and the mirth there in that, and that also talking about, if I can word this adequately, the personalities. When I was a young child, and well, older child, middle school and so forth. I was shy. I don't think I'm shy anymore. I think I got out of that. But when I began to come out of that, though, a lot of times the laughter and the talking, it was a diversionary tactic. It's like, no, that's not me. Well, he's not shy. What's he talking about? He's not shy. But we look, the Lord knows us deep down inside, within our hearts and our souls. He knows of our heaviness here. he goes on after this, talking about this heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Thy word. So his counsel, that song that Timothy selected, counsel, those words, to live by this word of God and the law. And then Brother Roger got up and selected Bless Jesus While in Mortal Flesh. And then I read that and said, here's the same. It's telling us to do the same thing as this Psalm 119. To bless us while in mortal flesh, and to cause our eyes to look at the cross, but then raise them to his seat. We're to look up. That's where our strength comes from. My strength is not going to come from wallowing in my self-pity in my life, but to look to God. And while I am doing that, I'm glorifying God, because I'm looking to him by some miracle, and that's what it is. If any of us look to God for strength and comfort and to lessen and lighten our heaviness and our burdens, then yes, he hears us, because that is a sweet savor to his nose, that smell that coming through Jesus Christ, that one of his broken ones are calling upon him to lift them again, knowing the sinfulness that we're in, but with also knowing at the same time the perfection and righteousness that we have within us right now. None of you are any different from what I just said. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ within you because God says you do. That's living by his word. Read his word and you'll know. He'll reveal it to you. And it's God honoring to God Almighty, Jesus Christ, when we're able to do that and blessed to do that. But there's many times like, no, I can handle this. I've got this. I don't need you now. I'll save you for this big stuff out there, but we need him for everything. We do. Whatever heaviness we have, he's the one. He is the one. Whatever ways, I've declared my ways unto him. Whatever those are, Yes, he knows them, but now you're communing with the Spirit of God directly. Verse 9 up here says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Taking heed to his word. This entire Psalm 119 is teaching that. He strengthens us through that. The times that not only did I not have a subject to preach to God's people about, not even that, but dragging myself up to the point to where I felt like there was something here. And the times I'm thankful that when I would open God's Word, not having anything, and then seeing and reading, and then no subject hit me to begin with. But I tell you what, the first thing that came over me was a peacefulness and a calmness that it was going to be okay. That anxiety was now taken off of me, and God did that. Then I would remember, you know, I hadn't even prayed yet, and He did it anyway. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. Now, so remove from me the way of lying. And we bring our kids up, raise them. It's like, you don't lie, you don't tell lies. And so that's a lot of it. But or lie, but I also consider lying to myself. Oh, everything's fine. I don't need to bother God right now with this. And this is trivial. Whatever it is, or maybe it's huge, but it's like, no, I don't feel worthy to, as this sister once said, "I'm afraid I'm bothering God as much as I talk to him." That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. He can give us his attention, but lying to ourselves, others, this dust that we cleave to, that we're stuck to. But then it says, "And grant me thy law graciously." In the Hebrew, grant graciously is one word. Grant graciously me thy law. But holding that up is mercy within that. I was so thankful to discover that grant graciously, there is full of mercy of God. That tells us we don't deserve it. By the mercy of God, we deserve something else. He's withheld that, and he's granted graciously his law. And remember, you fill in that, you know, he's granted us his word, his statutes, his precepts, his commandments, his judgments, all of that. "I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me." I've chosen the way of truth, the path of truth. What path have I chosen? I hope that it's the path of truth, and that what to me, y'all may get something else from some of these verses here, but to me, "thy judgments have I laid before me," is that I've been able to, as I have chosen that particular path in my life here, that I have laid out those judgments before me. And I think and I try to picture that path of the judgments of God laid out before me. And there's no cliffs to be dropped off of, and holes to stumble in, and so forth. This path that Jesus Christ himself, our friend and our brother and our Savior and Redeemer, has given us. "I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. That word, English word stuck there is the same as the word up there, the Greek word, the Hebrew word that's cleaveth, glued to. Same word. I am attached to and stuck to, cleaving to thy testimonies. This shifted in here. And I've read, and this sort of can I apply to this thought, but other verses the same way, where in the same way I began in one mood or one in one spirit, and then as I read God's word, I was carried into something else, something better. Look at this. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Not to be vexed and no confusion. I'm going to read two verses earlier in this 119th Psalm. The fifth verse says, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And there's an exclamation point at the end of that. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed. Then I have respect unto all thy commandments. I won't be vexed. And we know that to be the case. I will be burdened down with things, and I think of those that have been laid off from a secular job and don't have a job and so forth. And I remember being there and all and vexed, trying to choose and which way to go and so forth. But even in those times, God can give us peace. Things that happen in our families, God can grant us peace then to carry on and to bless them as well through those things. And I know that tribulation worketh patience, and that is so hard. I know I've talked about that before. That is so difficult. But the fact that God is always there with us in that. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Ghost, is with us. He abides within us. Continually, and will then call our name on that great morning. I will run the way of thy commandments. I will run, hasten toward that, hasten toward it, as we eschew evil and ensue peace. We're racing toward that peace, and we have that path that we've laid out before us, which is the judgments of God, and have chosen that way. This is a continual thing. You're talking about, being distracted and seeing something off to the side. Oh, there's a squirrel or something bright and shiny or something like that. We're distracted by that. But God is still there. He will never leave us nor forsake us. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When thou shalt enlarge my heart. With all the energies. Last Sunday I was talking about that Romans 12:1 and how we should, with our entire being. That's the presenting our bodies, living sacrifice, the bodies of our entire being, and that's difficult, and it's miraculous. Then we can put aside other things, but in this, if I could just put all of my energies, the unction that God has given me into serving Him, walking in His statutes and precepts and commandments, then I cannot imagine what difference life would be with that. But yet, I've tasted it enough to really know, and I still walk away. I turn aside from it. But He'll never do that. since Jesus Christ has already in the past died for every one of your sins, then you will be in heaven. He abides with you now if you have that desire for peace. That's an indication and a manifestation of that presence within you. And so you don't have to, that one of the burdens, one of the parts of that heaviness with us that we, that in which we are careful, full of care for and worry, part of that is not our eternal salvation. That's been taken care of. I need to see what path I'm on. That's what I need to do. Not that if I don't persevere in that walking of that path, if I get off of that, and then I pass from this life naturally, then not that I've lost anything of eternal composition. No, it's for here and now. I'm just so thankful that God has blessed me to be among a people who I believe and see that are striving to do that. And I'm thankful for that. It's uplifting. It's strengthening to me. And I'm thankful for it. May God bless and keep you is my prayer. We'll sing a song now. Shake one another's hands. If you so desire.